December 14th. As we look into the Old Testament, we'll be reading today from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 4, verse 11. Here's an overview. The prophet Jonah, of course, was a real person, and not just a character in a parable. God sent him to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, to a people despised by the Jews. Jonah, of course, would rather that Nineveh be destroyed than that the city have an opportunity to repent and be spared. The Assyrians were a cruel people who showed no mercy to their enemies, and Jonah wanted them out of the way. The book emphasizes God's grace both to Nineveh and to Jonah. Though Nineveh was a wicked city, God gave the inhabitants opportunity to be spared. Though Jonah was a rebellious servant, God forgave him and used him and tenderly sought to help him overcome his anger. In chapter 1, we see that Jonah thought he had a choice. He forgot that the will of God is not an option. It is an obligation and an opportunity. When we run from God's will, we always go down. We may end up sacrificing safety for danger and peace for a storm. The pagan sailors reveal more character than does the prophet of God. While Jonah was sleeping, they were crying out to their gods, and they did their best to save him. Jonah was a Jew, and the Jews were to be a blessing to the whole world. But the man who should have been saving the lost was being saved here by the lost. You see, a believer out of fellowship with God can cause a great deal of trouble. Jonah put the crew in danger and left the Ninevites without a message of hope. Well, God loves us too much to let us run away. Therefore, he disciplines us, and he keeps working on us until we submit to him. And in chapter 2, we'll see that when God first called him, Jonah should have prayed for divine help in carrying out his mission. Then he would have escaped discipline and the need for crying out to God for deliverance. When it was almost too late, the prophet prayed, and God graciously forgave him and rescued him. And in chapter 3, we'll see how gracious God is to give us another opportunity after we have failed him. God is as much concerned about the workers as he is the work. And in Jonah chapter 4, if God wanted only to save the city of Nineveh, the book would have ended at chapter 3, but there was still more work to do. When we're angry with God, as Jonah was, everything in life gets out of perspective, and we say and do selfish things. Things become more important than people, and comfort more important than ministry. But God is long-suffering and tenderly deals with us to bring us to himself. It is essential in Christian service to be happy with the will of God. Each of us should be able to say, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written within my heart." And now, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. December 14th, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 4, verse 11. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went down to the seacoast, to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping that by going away to the west, he could escape from the Lord. But as the ship was sailing along, suddenly the Lord flung a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to send them to the bottom. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will have mercy on us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, Jonah lost the toss. "What have you done to bring this awful storm down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" And Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Then he told them that he was running away from the Lord. The sailors were terrified when they heard this. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. For I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors tried even harder to row the boat ashore. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "O Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death, because it isn't our fault. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, "I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the world of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, 'O Lord, you have driven me from your presence. How will I ever again see your holy temple?' I sank beneath the waves, and death was very near. The waters closed in around me, and seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was locked out of life and imprisoned in the land of the dead. But you, O Lord, my God, have snatched me from the yawning jaws of death. When I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah on the beach, and it did. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message of judgment I have given you." This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they decided to go without food and wear sackcloth to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in sackcloth and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city: "No one, not even the animals, may eat or drink anything at all. Everyone is required to wear sackcloth and pray earnestly to God. Everyone must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will have pity on us and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us." When God saw that they had put a stop to their evil ways, he had mercy on them and didn't carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I knew how easily you could cancel your plans for destroying these people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive because nothing I predicted is going to happen. The Lord replied, Is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see if anything would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased some of his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also prepared a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant, so that it soon died and withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God sent a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. And a plant is only at best short-lived. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? December 14th. And now we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament. We'll be narrating from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. We'll read about the scroll. It represents the title deed to creation, where Jesus Christ alone is the rightful heir. Satan offered him the whole world in return for one act of worship. But Jesus won the right to receive the scroll when he gave himself on the cross. Have you placed the scroll of your life in his hands? We'll read about the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ, who was slain as a sacrifice for sin. He is both Lamb and Lion, the Savior and the Sovereign. He's also the root of David, for he existed before David and brought David's kingly line into being. As Lamb, Jesus offers salvation. As Lion, he judges those who reject him. Marvel at the many aspects of his person and his work. And we'll read about the incense. It represents prayer. For centuries, God's people have been praying, Thy kingdom come. And those prayers are about to be answered. Saints on earth do not pray to or through the saints now in heaven. Our praying is to the Father and through the Son. But the prayers of God's people play a vital part in God's governing of the world. And we'll read about worship. He is worthy of our worship, not only because He is Creator, but even more because He is our Redeemer. See how the circle of praise grows until every creature worships Him. Heaven is a place of worship. So begin to get ready now to join in the praise. And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. December 14th, Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And I, John, saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and unroll it? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I wept, because no one could be found who was worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and heir to David's throne, has conquered. He is worthy to open the scroll and break its seven seals. I looked, and I saw a lamb that had been killed, but was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God that are sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And as he took the scroll, the 4 living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were killed, and your blood has ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become God's kingdom and his priests, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked again, and I heard the singing of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "The Lamb is worthy, the Lamb who was killed. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They also sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the 4 living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped God and the Lamb. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. It's one thing for a group of people to journey together to Jerusalem for a feast, and quite something else for them to live together day after day. Abraham and Lot, Isaac and his family, Jacob and Laban, and Joseph's brothers remind us that brethren do not always dwell together in unity. Unity must come down from above, like the oil running down Aaron's beard and bathing the 12 jewels on the breastplate, or like the dew descending on the mountains. You can manufacture uniformity by manipulating people and exerting pressure, but true unity can come only from God by His Spirit. Unity is good like the dew and produces fruitfulness. It is pleasant like the oil and produces a lovely fragrance. Divisions among God's people produce opposite results. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. A song for the ascent to Jerusalem. A psalm of David. How wonderful it is, how pleasant, when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the fragrant anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life forevermore. Proverbs 29, verses 26 and 27. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice comes from the Lord. The godly despise the wicked. The wicked despise the godly.